want to kind of address you today and really start out by giving thanks. You know, and when they gave out the Academy Awards, you have the one who wins the award get up and say, I want to thank my agent, I want to thank my production company, I want to thank everybody, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, I want to kind of do the same sort of thing today because I feel like that I really won an award by being able to be the rector of this church for these 19 years. And it's certainly been a real blessing to not only know all of you, but also to work with so many of you in the work of the ministry here. But I certainly want to thank all the senior wardens that served under, and especially our current senior warden, Martha McKean, who's been working so hard and now has a lot extra on her plate as she prepares to organize a search committee and things like that. So keep her in your prayers if you would. I want to thank all of our wardens, junior wardens, especially Charles McMahon. Charles has been such a good junior warden for me for these last few years, and I want to thank him as well. And I want to thank all the acolytes, all the lay Eucharistic ministers, all the lectors, all the readers, for their dedication and service each time they're called upon to serve at the altar. I also want to thank the Altar Guild and the Flower Guild for all the beautiful flower arrangements that they have made over the years. And also want to thank the ushers and greeters that have helped everybody get started in our services. I want to thank those who work at the Welcome Center and our prayer ministers that have been so faithful in offering prayers for those who need healing or any other need in their lives. I want to thank our prayer chain, especially Diane and her organization running of our prayer chain. I want to thank St. Deborah's Guild for all the outreach that they do and all the good work that they do for the women of this church. For our men's ministry, John Lauer and his leading of our men over the last few years. Certainly, I want to thank all those who participated in my Bible study. That was always a great time of studying God's Word with you. And I want to thank those that served on the funeral committee, those that served in outreach to the Union Gospel Mission, other areas of ministry like that. I want to thank the Hearts and Hands Ministry, this new ministry that is really helping to reach out and connect with people that might fall through the cracks. Also our Landscape Committee, Nancy Curl, all the good work that she's done with all of the people in helping our grounds to look so nice. I want to thank those that worked on our prayer shawls and at our 10:30 service. Heather is doing our videos, and I thank her for that. Especially want to thank Jim. Jim has been such a faithful member of our 8 o'clock service, and you may not know this, but he goes around and turns on all the lights. He turns on the air conditioners or the heaters, whatever is needed. He picks up donuts to bring on the way to church, and so all those things have been a real blessing, and I just want to appreciate you, Jim, for all the service that you've done to me and to the church. There's been a lot of highlights in the church that I've been blessed to experience. One of the big highlights for me has been our Alpha Course, which we haven't done in a few years, but it's been something that I've seen change the lives of many people. Some of you here who've been through the Alpha Course really have been blessed by that, and it's been a blessing for me to see those that have been blessed because of the Alpha Course. Some of you may remember some of the talent shows we had in the past, and those were always a lot of fun, and I was blessed to be a part of our Saturday Night Live services, which were really an opportunity for us to be a little more free and open in terms of our worship, that sort of thing. And so there are many, many different highlights that I can share with you about this, my time with you. Obviously, there are things that I'm a little disappointed about. I'm kind of disappointed that I wasn't able to work with you to bring in more younger families. Disappointed we weren't able to develop more, to develop any home groups, which is one of my goals. But part of what the challenges that we face as a church is our style of worship. You know, we kind of do the same things over and over again, and it's easy for us to just kind of get used to doing those same sort of things. And when I first came to St. Anne's, I wasn't sure how I was going to be received, because I had a vision of what I thought we should do in terms of worship, and So I wasn't sure how we were going to be received. And I don't know if you remember the old prayer book or not, but the old prayer book, the priest would say, the Lord be with you, and you would respond, and also with you. Well, there was a visiting priest who was filling in for someone, and they strapped him up with a lapel microphone. And he started talking, realized it wasn't working. So he looked down and he said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." The congregation responded, "And also with you." Well, I was hoping that everyone wouldn't say that about me when I first came to the church, because I came here from Buffalo, New York. And you know, there was a little bit of skepticism in regards to Texans and those that come from up north. But they began to realize that actually I was born in Dallas, and so I was coming back home. So pretty soon people realized I wasn't going to try to ruin their church or something like that. But it's been a real blessed time. And you know, as we do the things that we do on Sunday morning, as we worship the way we worship, then as I mentioned before, it's so easy to get into a routine and not really think about worshiping. Jesus said, if you worship God, you would need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What that means is you need to worship God in the truest sense of the word, of who God is and what God has revealed to us about Himself, so that we know we're worshiping the true God. So we're worshiping in truth, but we're also worshiping in spirit. It's one of the things that I was hoping to do as your rector, was to help us to worship more with our spirit and along with worshiping in truth. And as we look at the early church, certainly the Jews as well as the early Jewish Christians were used to worshiping in the same way. They had a liturgy. They had a structure of service that was very much the same every Saturday in which they worshiped. But when Jesus came along, He gave them a new spirit of worship. And that spirit brought them alive and caused them to have a new relationship with God. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share with you about that new relationship that we can have with God through the Holy Spirit. When you came in today, hopefully you received an insert. If you'll get that out, we're going to go through some of the scriptures in that insert today. And when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down upon Him in the form of a dove. Now, Jesus already had the Holy Spirit living inside of Him, so the Holy Spirit was coming upon Him for a particular purpose. The Holy Spirit was going to anoint Him for a ministry, the ministry on which He was about to embark. And so if you look at the first passage there, number one, in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now that phrase, to baptize with the Holy Spirit, is not explained anywhere in the Gospel of Matthew, nor is it explained in any of the other three Gospels. It's just kind of there. So we're not told what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Go down to number 9. This again is John the Baptist. "And then John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Him. And I myself did not know Him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" So there's that phrase again, to baptize with the Holy Spirit. It's not explained, nor are we told what that actually means. You go to the next page, on page number 11, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "On one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" There's that phrase again, to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And it's not explained, nor are we told what it means. However, we will find out what it means in a couple of verses here. In number 12, it says, "He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" So we see that one of the purposes of this baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower his people to be more effective witnesses out in the world. And so all of that is leading up to our first lesson today from Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, we read earlier, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. One of the problems that Christians sometimes have with this idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that they don't really like this idea of speaking in tongues. And so many people get hung up on that, thinking that that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. That's actually just one of the gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit can give a person. And so many times people are afraid, if I receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, that I'm going to lose my mind and start speaking gibberish or whatever. And so it's very easy for us to become fearful of what God wants to do through the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of the things that Jesus said, if you'll turn back to Luke chapter 11, Jesus said, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you were evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" One of the other Gospels, it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So the gifts of the Spirit are good gifts. They're not gifts to be feared or to be anxious about. They're good gifts, and they're given for the benefit of the individual Christian as well as the benefit for the church and for those outside of the church. And so all the gifts of the Spirit are there for our benefit and for the benefit of those around us. Now, if you'll go back to number 15 in Acts chapter 4. Now, Lord, this is after Peter and John have been released from prison, and they came to meet with the rest of the Christians. And they prayed this prayer: "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." You remember in our gospel lesson today, Jesus said, "The works that I do, you will do, and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father." And so they were praying that God would perform these works through them as they went out into the world. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So these were the same apostles and disciples that were in the upper room when the day of Pentecost came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. So now they're being filled again. And this lets us know that this infilling, this baptism of the Spirit, is not just a one-time experience, but it's something that we need on a regular basis. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can do the works and the things that God wants us to do. And so one of the things that they did, as you see, is they spoke the word of God boldly. They went out and they shared their faith with others. I look at number 18. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And when a person becomes a believer in Christ, the Bible says that they receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them. The Holy Spirit causes them to be born again of the Spirit. They have a new relationship with God. Their sins are forgiven. They really become a Christian when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them. And so the Holy Spirit was already living inside of these new believers. And yet Peter is praying that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because he had not yet come upon any of them. Remember, I said the Holy Spirit comes into you as a Christian, but then the Holy Spirit comes upon you to empower you. All throughout the Bible, when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, they are empowered to do something special for God. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, he comes upon them for a particular purpose and for a particular reason at a particular time. And so he's praying for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, because he had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they were already baptized in water, and yet they still needed something else. They needed something more, and that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They needed to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. I look at number 19. In Acts chapter 9, then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." If you remember, Paul was on the road and he was struck down by a bright light, and he was blinded, and so they had to carry him back. So ultimately, Ananias, who was called to go and pray for Paul, was to pray for him that he not only would receive his sight, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when Ananias went and prayed for Paul, it says that he immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. And he got up and then was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. So there we see that someone can be filled with the Holy Spirit before they're baptized. So God doesn't seem to have some sort of a thing that he does the same way with every person, but he chooses to fill a person as he sees the need in their lives. Look over at number 20. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, those of the Jewish Christians, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." In other words, they had received the Holy Spirit just as they did on the day of Pentecost. And so now that they've received this empowering, this filling of the Spirit, now they're going to be baptized in water. And so it's interesting that they were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Number 21, in Acts chapter 11, Peter said, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remember what the Lord Jesus said, 'John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" So this baptism with the Holy Spirit is equated with this Pentecostal experience, the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit that they experienced on the day of Pentecost. And so they received the Holy Spirit just as we have, he said. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There they received the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. And so then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. And number 21 again, just to review that, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them. And then I remember what the Lord said, "John baptized with water, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So God gave them the same gift he gave us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? So this experience is for anyone who wants to receive it, Jew or Gentile, anyone who would like to receive this infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then look at number 20. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptized in water. But when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So there we see that someone can be baptized in the Holy Spirit after they are baptized in water. And so, again, God provides different ways for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of course, is not only to strengthen our relationship with God and to utilize the gifts that he has given us, but also it can enhance our worship as well, because we can now worship with the Spirit as we connect with God through his Holy Spirit. God created each one of us with a human spirit. That human spirit is the essence of who we are, and it's designed to connect with God, who is Spirit, because we can have a relationship with God through our spirit who's been reborn and now can have that relationship with God, who is Spirit himself. When I was growing up as a kid, I remember coming to believe in Jesus Christ at a vacation Bible school when I was about 9 or 10. I also remember my confirmation. I was baptized at the age of 7. I kind of remember that. But I also remember my confirmation where I really felt connected to God in a special way. And so I was an acolyte in church. But after a while, I stopped going to church and really didn't have much to do with God until I got into college. And I asked God to help me in my final exams and help me to pass them. And I said, if he did that, then I would go to church. And of course, being a college student, I didn't want to get up early on Sunday mornings. So I found out that there was an Episcopal campus ministry group there. And so they met on Sunday night. And so I thought, well, I'll just go to that. And so when I went there, I discovered that the kids that were there, they were college kids like I was, and yet there was something different about them. They were not the normal college kids that I was used to being around. These kids really believed in Jesus. They had a living relationship with him. They really experienced a new way of worshiping. And so I was kind of intrigued by that, and I realized that they had something I didn't have. So one of the guys in the group began to talk to me about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, yeah, I really would like that. And so he prayed for me, and nothing happened. So I thought, well, maybe it's just me. So we went to another meeting, and somebody prayed for me there, and nothing happened. So I thought, well, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe it's just for other people. And so I was home at Christmas one time, and I was flipping through the channels, and I came across an Episcopal priest who was talking about his experience of being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to get excited because he was saying something that I was looking forward to. And he began, as he was speaking, I began to realize how much God had forgiven me for in my life, how many bad things I had done, and how deep was his forgiveness for me. And I realized how deep God's love was for me. And as I was doing that, I really was connecting with God, and it really felt like the love of God was being poured into my heart at that time. It was like a kind of like a river of love that was flowing in my heart. And I came across the scripture later on that says the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so that rejuvenation of the Holy Spirit, if you will, caused me to come alive and totally transform my life. It was an experience that stayed with me for a few weeks, but then the experience kind of wore off. And I realized that God gave me that experience to show me that this baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit was a real thing, and that it can truly be something that can transform my life, which it ultimately did. Well, later on, I felt a call into the priesthood, and one of the things I felt God was calling me to do is to try and help other people experience this infilling or baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so that's been one of my missions throughout all the times in the various churches in which I've served. Now, there have been a number of people that have received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. They know that they've received it. They know that their lives have been changed. And then there might be others that have received it and don't realize that they've received it. And so any of us who receive this infilling of the Holy Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and may I suggest to you that it's not an option. Look at the last scripture I have there, number 26. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says this, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with songs, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing, make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That phrase, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is not just a one-time thing. It's a constant, be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And so when we ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, the first time we're filled, we may know that there's something dramatic that's happened, but otherwise, in subsequent fillings, we may not even feel anything. But the reality is, the promise of God is, if we ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, that He will do that. Some people receive different gifts. Some people receive speaking in tongues. Some people receive prophecy. Some people receive other gifts of the Spirit. Some people may not know what gifts they have, but the Holy Spirit wants to give us gifts as may be best for us and for those to whom we might minister. ultimately, God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just so that it will give us a goosebump feeling or something like that, but so that we can connect with Him in a deeper sense of worship, prayer, and otherwise. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, the Bible came alive for me. I began to read it and began to understand it. Prayer was something that was not just perfunctory, something I just had to do. It was something I wanted to do. My prayer life came alive. And then, of course, I felt a greater desire to share my faith with others around me. And so this experience of the Holy Spirit is something that I'm going to pray and ask that God would give to you if you want it. Now, if you don't want it, you're not going to get it. So don't worry about it. But if you do want it, God promises to give you all the good gifts that He wants to give you. And He wants to draw you as close to Him as He can through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share Your word about this very important aspect of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just as those who have come to believe in Him have received the Holy Spirit already, many times we need something more. Many times we need more power in our lives. We need more ability to not only resist sin, but also to do the things that You call us to do. And Lord, we can't do that without Your power and without Your Spirit. So I pray, Lord, that You would pour out Your Spirit upon this congregation and that we might be truly changed and drawn closer to You through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit. I ask that in His name.
Amen.